Bless you all. Today we're going to look at a scripture that was already read, Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. And I know we already read that, and Pastor Fiani seems like he already got the message because he asked Pastor Henry to read it again. There's another scripture I wanted to read really quick before I get into the meat of the message this morning. And I'm going to read from Matthew 23, from verse 15 down to 29. And I'm reading from the NIV, so as I read, you can follow. Matthew 23, I'll be reading from verse 15 to 29. I'll read. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guide! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, if anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it, and anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven, by God's throne, and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, hallelujah, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and of everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. 29 and last, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding of blood of the prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor today. And as we are here to share in your word one more Sunday morning, God, we pray that your name will be glorified. We pray that flesh will decrease so that you will increase, Father, and that your word will fall on good ground this morning. And I tell you thanks in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So this morning, hallelujah, I'm going to use the topic, the self-righteous fruit versus the nutritional fruit of the Spirit. The self-righteous fruit versus the nutritional fruit of the Spirit. In today's world, the food distributors and the supermarkets, we notice that they are more concerned with the quantity and the appearance of fruits instead of the nutritional quality of fruit. Can we agree on that? So we go into our nearby Walmart or Publix or, you know, maybe the mass supermarket chains. It is no secret that it cannot supply the demand of fruits. And they do this to simply meet the demands of shoppers. So you go into supermarkets, you see seedless watermelons, you see perfectly yellow bananas, bigger than the usual banana size. We notice that the oranges are orange and there are no spots or wrinkles. And if we look at the sale of our fruits in the mega chain supermarkets, we notice that they are spotless and seedless. And they do this for three reasons. Number one, they want to appeal to the shopper. Humans are attracted to beauty. So if you put a fruit that is a perfectly orange pumpkin or whatever color that pumpkin is, they're probably going to go for the bigger pumpkin or the spotless pumpkin. Do you agree? So when you go into the supermarket, you touch the fruit, you feel the fruit, you look at the fruit and you say, this is a nice yellow banana. Look how that one is big. And you go and you choose the one that's bigger and more physically appealing. Number two, they need to grow these fruits in controlled environments to meet the demand. So if they were to depend on the natural farmers, you go down to Homestead sometimes and you get natural fruit. When they have the pumpkin patches down in the fall, you know, they have natural fruit and people go down there and they're buying, but they cannot support the physical demand from the earth because they are prone to natural disasters. They are prone to, prairial larceny. They are prone to insects and bugs and, you know, whatever eats these fruits. So they are forced, because of the demand, to start growing these fruits in controlled environments. So they create the greenhouses and they create, you know, the labs, and they try to grow fruits from a seed in the lab, and they control the environment, and they control the amount of UV light that fruit is exposed to, and they're controlling the water, and they're adding, you know, fertilizers, and, you know, they're growing it in a lab. But what is happening there is that it is sacrificing what? The nutritional value of the fruit.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
So these fruits are seedless. People don't want to spit out seed anymore, unfortunately. So we want to buy the melon, and we don't want the melon to have any seed. We want to buy the banana, and the banana mustn't have any seed. And we want to buy these fruits, and it should be easy to eat. And it should be filled with flesh. The jackfruit must be fleshy. The banana must be fleshy. The orange must be fleshy. And we don't want to spit out seeds anymore. And that's the way society is going. You go in the supermarket, you get boneless wings, and you buy boneless thighs. When you go to the restaurant and you buy crab, even though it's not crab season, you want to buy crab. And they feed us imitation crab instead of the real crab. And this is what's happening in our country. This is what's happening in our world, where the demand of these fruits and the quality of these fruits is affecting the quantity is affecting the quality. So the nutritional value you got from a banana 20 or 30 years ago is different from the nutritional value of that same banana. Sometimes that banana tastes like they take sugar and they inject it into the banana so the banana is sweet. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
So, in today's world, everything needs to be fast. Everything needs to be quick and in abundant quantity. You go into a fast food line, you want to go in the fast food line, you want to pay, and you want to go through that line as quick as possible so that you can get your food and you can go along your merry life. You see, unfortunately, similarly, we live in a world where many churches, we are prioritizing the numerical growth of the congregation above the spiritual growth of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we are concerned with the tithe. We are concerned with how many people are tithing into the body. How many members can we get in? How many numbers can we reflect that we're saved this year? Here is my congregation. I have 10,000 members tithing $100 each month, and the church is healthy, and it's pumping, and the finances are healthy, and we can have all these food distribution programs, and we can afford the most expensive sound system, and we can afford this, and we can afford that. But what is the spiritual growth? Are we sacrificing nutritional value of our own fruit to prioritize the numerical growth of the body of Christ? You see, when I shared this message, I had two bananas, but unfortunately we're on the phone, so I have to talk us through it. So I bought a banana at Walmart. The banana is yellow and pretty. And you can buy a banana at a farmer's market nearby, or, you know, they have that farmer's market down in Hollywood, or you go to a local farmer's market, or you go down in Homestead and you buy a banana. Well, guess what? That banana is not going to look perfect. That banana doesn't look as yellow. It has some spots and some wrinkles. It might have more seeds, but because it's natural. So I want to use these two bananas to share an example of what happens when we sacrifice nutritional value for quantity or physical appearance. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So one banana is beautiful and seedless, right? Mm. Another banana is ugly on the outside, but filled with nutritional value on the inside.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to look at these two bananas. And I'm going to bring out some points. And I want to compare the self-righteous Christian. You see, the thing I like about this passage is it was Jesus speaking. I love the Bible when I take out the Bible and it's red writing. I know the entire Bible is the inspired word of God, but there's something different about the red writing for me, because I'm reading directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I like that passage because Jesus was speaking almost a message that sounded like condemnation, but we can't call it condemnation because he did not come to condemn the world. But here was Jesus speaking, and he was speaking sternly to the Pharisees and to the scribes, and he was saying, look at you, you do this and you do that, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. Pastors, I don't know about you, but if we were to speak a message like this in New Divine, people would be offended. You can't go up here and say, you brood of vipers, you this and you that. I prefer to read the word of God and say, this is what Jesus said.
Amen.
Now, what if Jesus said this to us today? Amen. Because he called them a brood of vipers. He was so stern with them. And you could feel the passion as you read this, because Jesus was telling them that you are too religious. You are too self-righteous. You are focused on the outside, but your insides are dirty and unclean. Amen. Today I want to use these bananas to do a comparison between the self-righteous Christian and the one who is only concerned about what others see, versus the one who is more focused on the nutritional quality of the heart. And I ask us the question this morning, what is the nutritional quality of our heart? What is the nutritional quality of our heart? Are we that banana that we buy in the mass chain supermarket and we are so concerned that we look so pretty and beautiful on the outside, and we wear a Gucci this and our Armani, and we wear a Lacoste, and we wear a Nike, and we look good on the outside, and I wear this expensive cologne, and I come to church, and I always wear a three-piece suit to church, and I look so dapper going to church. But what is the condition of the heart? Because I'm here to tell us as a church this morning that if we do not get rid of the Pharisee spirit in the body of Christ, we cannot welcome people into the body, because we're welcoming them into judgment. We're welcoming them into a climate, into an atmosphere that judges people from the outward appearance.
Yes, yes.
So we find in churches today, and I'm sorry, I'm preaching the word of God here, forgive me, but at the end of the day, we are majoring in the minor, we are minoring in the major, and we are concerned about who is wearing a nose ring, and who is wearing a tattoo, and who is wearing blue hair to church, and whose skirt is too tight, and who is in a pant, and whose head is not covered. But what is the condition of the heart?
Amen.
You see, we are talking about a Jesus who went to Zacchaeus' house, one who the crowd said that he was not worthy of the presence of Jesus. We're talking about a Jesus who told the two thieves on the cross, you will be with me today in paradise. To the thief on the cross. He said that to the thief on the cross. But today we make it complicated. Now we say, mm-hmm. you have to say this, and you have to wear this, and you have mm-hmm. to do this, and you have to check this box for you to get into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus said mm-hmm. one sentence to this thief. He said, today you will be with yes. me in paradise.
Amen.
So you see, we make it complicated. We make it complicated to get into the body of Christ. Amen. So today, we think about it, and we ask ourselves, what is the condition of our heart? What is the condition? What is the nutritional value of our heart? You know, where are we? Where are we with our heart posture before God?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man look at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord
looks
at the heart.
Hallelujah.
You see, fortunately for sinners, not for us, because if we were God, if we were Jesus, man, oh man, we would judge some people differently.
Yeah.
And we know in our heart that we could not be God. We could not be Christ. Because we know in ourselves that we catch ourselves looking at people a certain way. We catch ourselves asking the question, what is he wearing? Why would he dress like that to the house of the Lord? Why is he coming so late to church? Fortunately, God judges by faith and character, not appearances.
Yes.
And because only God can see the inside, he can accurately judge people. You see, I want to tell us this morning that God is the only person who can peel by the skin of that banana and know what is in the inside. He is the only one who can peel back the skin of our heart or peel back the skin of our flesh and see what is in the inside, what is in the mind of a man's heart. Most people spend hours each week maintaining their outward appearance. So we look in the mirror. I know for the married men, we know how our wives are. And we know sometimes men have to get ready for church, men. And we have to tell them, start getting ready from now. Because by the time we finish with the makeup, by the time they finish with the hair, pastor, by the time they finish, we know we're going to be on time or late. It's either you're on time or you're late. And I'm being transparent here. And I tell Tori all the time, I tell her, please wake up early for church and start getting ready. As everything else, all you have to do is get ready. So that by the time I finish doing everything, I know that you're leaving out on time for church. And think about it. You know, some men are like that too. You know, nothing is wrong with spending time on the outward appearance. We must look good as Christians. We must dress good as Christians. And we must feel good about ourselves. You know, I go to the barber, I get my nice fade, I get my line up, and I look, I like to clean shave. Because when I clean shave, I feel like I look 5 years younger.
All right.
So I do the clean shave, and I make sure I work on the outward appearance. But we need to do more, saints of God, to develop inner character. What is the nutritional value? You see, because we have some Christians nowadays, we are being raised in a lab. We are being raised with the prosperity gospel. We are being taught the prosperity gospel. And Jesus is merciful. And God is this. And God is that. But nobody is preaching anymore to talk about the wages of sin. And that the wages of sin is death. And you must repent.
Yes, hallelujah.
You see, that's why I prefer the word of God, because this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. I want us to understand this morning that he said, your outside is clean, and you work on it, but your inside is like a dirty cup. Let's look at the fake banana. I'm calling it the fake banana because I genuinely don't believe that the bananas we are buying today are good for us as we think. I prefer to try to go to the farmer's market and pay a little bit more money and buy some fruit that I know, you know, it has less pesticides, it has less fertilizers, and it's not as harmful to my body. But let's look on 6 points here today. 6 points. Number one, the fake banana is clean and spotless on the outside, but unnutritious on the inside. We go back to Matthew 23, verse 25 to 26, that says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside are filled with greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will always be clean. You see, there's something about the joy of the Lord. There's something about the peace of the Lord. It doesn't make you ugly on the outside. It makes you walk with boldness and confidence, because even though the world is falling apart, we know the election is coming up. There are 3 world wars going on right now, and there are so many things happening. The LGBTQ community is trying to downplay the power of the Holy Ghost in the church, and we are afraid to speak. We are afraid to share the gospel and preach the repentance gospel. The preachers with the mass, with the massive platforms, the preachers with the television time, they can't preach anything against the community now, because they're afraid of the cancer culture. But here I am to tell us today that this was Jesus speaking.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
You see, the thing is, if we work on the inside, the outside will automatically be beautiful.
Hallelujah.
You see, I like the drive-through car washes in a sense, because when you go to the drive-through car wash, you pay probably $5 and you drive through, and you can do something in the meantime. You see, me personally, I don't know of anybody else. I consider myself to have a busy lifestyle with balancing church and work and family and everything. And I like the drive-through car wash. So I like that I can sit down, I can probably respond to a few emails while I'm in the car wash. I can, you know, respond to some text messages while I'm in the car wash. But the thing about the outside, about the drive-through car wash, is that it doesn't sit right with me. Because you drive through, yes, you pay $5, but the inside of your car dirty same way.
Yeah.
You drive through it, the outside, the rim's nice and clean. The outside is spotless. And it have a nice shampoo, and some of them have the rain barrier now where it rains and it doesn't, you know, mess up your car. But the inside is not vacuumed. The inside is still dirty. The inside, the car mats need to wash still, you know. So what do we do about that? We have to go home now, and we have to take out the vacuum, and we still have to spend some time, dude. Are you going to pay somebody else? Nobody wants to drive around in a car. You think about that. You compare that to God. Does God want to drive around in our nice car that is outside clean and the inside is dirty and mucky? No. You see, some Sunday scene, I'm afraid that somebody asked me to drop them home because sometimes the inside of the car don't look so good.
Yes, sir.
And I say the outside might look nice. And they say, let me ask Pastor Daly, because him car look good. But on the inside, they don't know. Number 2. You see, the GMO banana, or the fake banana, wears the best Sunday clothes to church, solely focused on the outward appearance. But 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4 tells us, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold and jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You see, I like when my wife goes to the hair salon and the nail salon, you know, she put herself together nice. I like it. And, you know, it's not for everyone. You know, some women of God, they don't believe in jewelry. That's okay. Some women of God, they probably don't wear makeup. That's okay. To each his own conviction. But at the end of the day, I like when my wife look well put together and clean and nice and pretty. But, you see, that must not be the only focus. That must not be the only priority. Because if we're only spending time on cleaning the outside and focusing on the outward appearance, but we don't spend time before God, we don't spend time in prayer, we don't spend time in the Word, we don't spend time in giving, we don't spend time in coming to the house of God, then where does that leave us? Number 3, thank God, I'm not like the farmer's market, the banana. That's what the GMO banana is saying. I'm saying GMO banana is genetically modified bananas. That's what they call them, GMO bananas, genetically modified. So they are grown in a lab, they are in a controlled environment, and they're introduced to chemicals and fertilizers that lead that the typical, you know, farmer's banana is not introduced to. So number 3, the GMO banana's prayer is, thank God I am not like the farmer's market banana. But here we just read in the Word of God in Luke 18, verse 11 to 12, the Pharisees stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people,
robbers, yes, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. You see, I like this one because some people will believe that so we pay our liquor tithes. Because we pay our tithe. And because I'm in the house of God every Sunday and I'm in church 15 minutes early like my tenant card said, and I don't miss Bible study and I don't miss prayer meeting, but as soon as we leave church, we are chat people. As soon as we leave church, we're on the phone. Did you see what Sister So-and-so had on today? Did we go and talk to Sister So-and-so and encourage her? But no, we leave church. And we come home, and we are talking about the sins, and we are talking about the man of God. But here we are, and the farmer's market banana said, I'm not like them. Thank God I'm not like them. You see, that's not a good prayer to pray for us as children of God. What we should be is encouraging. What we should be is considering. What we should be is graceful. What we should be is merciful and expressing that towards others. And we want to share the joy of the Lord and the gossip of the Lord. But here we are. Number four, check the box, Christian. You see, I like this one because we live in a society where we need to check the box. Everything is check the box. Society tells us, check the box, sons. Check the box, daughters. Go to school. Graduate with your high school diploma. Check that box. Go to college and get a nice degree that will pay you well. Check that box. You get out of college and you go get a nice job. Check that box. Now that you have a job, go buy a house. Check that box. Now that you bought a house, go start a family. Find a wife. Check that box. Have some children. Check that box. Work 20 years. Check that box. And retire. Check that box. And then die. You see, we live in a society that it's a check-the-box routine. And nobody tries to go outside of the grain anymore. Nobody tries to go against the grain anymore. You know, society doesn't teach us to start a business. Society teaches us to go to school and get a $200,000 student loan and come out and work 20 years to pay it off and get a mortgage that you work 30 years to pay it off. But nobody teaches in the school, especially in the American schools. They don't teach business. They don't teach entrepreneurship. They don't give a student. They will rather give a student loan at 18 years old than give them a business loan at 18 years old. So we think about that, and that's similar to how we are in the Christian environment today. We check the box. What's the box we're checking? Come to church. What's the box we're checking? Have a little 15-minute devotion in the morning. Read your daily bread. What's the box we're checking? Think about that. And I go to the passage here of Scripture in Luke 18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. How do you know the commandments? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. Check that box. You shall not steal. Check that box. You shall not give false testimony. Check that box. Honor your father and mother. Check that box. So here he is, and the ruler said to Jesus, "But Pastor, me do all of this already. I've been doing this. I've been paying my tithe. I've been coming to church. I give to the poor. All these I have kept since I was a boy. I grew up in church. Prayer meeting don't miss me. Youth fellowship don't miss me. I've been doing this since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." You know, I like this passage of Scripture because, you see, the thing about this passage is that people misinterpret it and say you have to be poor to follow Christ and say you have to let go of your riches to follow Christ. But, you see, what I like about this is that Jesus already knew his heart. Jesus knew that he checked all the boxes, but his riches was probably his God. Jesus already saw his heart and saw how dependent he was on his riches and his finances and his assets. And Jesus targeted that one thing and said, "Go do that one thing." You know, I want to challenge us to think this day that if this was someone else, Jesus probably wouldn't give him that response. Because maybe someone else, their challenge is something else. Their challenge is probably food. Their challenge is probably envy. Or their challenge is probably something else. But Jesus knew that this ruler had his heart tied up in his riches and his assets.
Yeah.
And when he said that, the man walked away sad. In this passage, Jesus challenges a man who claims to have checked all the boxes by following the Ten Commandments to also become vulnerable. Jesus tells this man that he still lacks one thing, and he should have sold everything and give it to the poor. I ask us the question this morning, what is our heart invested in? You know, what is the idol? For some of us, the idol is going to be food. For some of us, the idol might be the television. For some of us, the idol might be social media. For some of us, the idol might be our own family. For some of us, we have idols that are different from this ruler. But essentially, Jesus said to this man, get rid of that idol and then come follow me. Hallelujah. We ask ourselves a question. Are we self-righteous that we check the boxes? We check all the boxes in our Christian life and we walk around every day like we are perfect. We walk around and, you know, we have these concerns and we have issues and we have all these things happening to us, but it's because we are concerned about checking the boxes rather than, you know, giving everything to Christ. Number five, we're wrapping up. Number five, beautiful on the outside to please people. You see that banana, that GMO banana? In Galatians 1 verse 10 it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That is Paul speaking. He recognized that he needed approval from God and not from human beings. Amen? So here we are. And we think of ourselves as that banana. Are we focusing on the outside appearance? Are we focusing on the quantity of our fruits? Are we focused on the wrong things rather than the internal, the heart that Jesus sees? Number six, this banana is genetically modified and no longer depends on natural sources for growth. It depends on funding and labs. So this one is simple. You see that banana that's GMO modified or focused on being beautiful on the outside? It's not tied to the source anymore. It's not planted in the ground anymore. It's not connected to the vine anymore. Where is it? It's in a lab. And it has unnatural light. It has unnatural food. It has an unnatural environment. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. You see, if we are not like a tree planted in the word of God, if we are not like a tree planted in God himself, if we are not rooted to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done unto you. This is to my Father's glory, that you can bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, this banana that is from the farmer's market, the natural banana is planted in the earth. It is planted in the earth, which is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It is planted to the root. It is planted to the rock that cannot be shaken. It is planted into the soil where ants is, where nutrients is in the soil, where there is spring, where there is water, where there is sunlight, where there is natural disasters that come and tear you down sometime, but only to build up your faith, only to give you perseverance, because perseverance produces character.
Indeed.
Hallelujah. You see, are we connected to the vine? Are we dependent on human beings to turn on a switch so that we can have control UV light? You see, we love our AC nowadays, and nobody know how to spend time in the sun anymore. As soon as we get in our cars, we turn on the AC. As soon as we get in church, we ask our church so hot because the AC is done. Can we turn on the AC, please? We go home, we turn on the AC. And we want to be in control environment, and that's fine for comfort. But in terms of our spirituality, we have to be connected to the true vine, to the earth. Still connected to the source. You see, I don't want us to misinterpret this message. This message doesn't mean that if you're a child of God, then your outside must be ugly or unattractive. This message means that the condition of the heart is not always seen from outside appearance. Therefore, don't judge by the outward appearance, as God said to Samuel, but judge what is from the heart. The Bible says that God created mankind in his own image. It means that we must look good. It means that we must smell good. Amen. It means that I must walk around with boldness and confidence and, you know, tuck in my shirt when I'm going to church and make sure that I'm giving God my best. And when I'm going to work, I walk boldly as a Christian, as a child of God, with my chest in front of me, because I know that God is behind me, God is before me, God is beside me. But all of that means nothing if we are of no nutritional value to the kingdom of God. Only God, as I said, has the ability to peel back the skin of that banana to see the inside condition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there's a specific verse that says the Pharisees strained their water so they wouldn't accidentally swallow a gnat. Jesus said to them, you strain your water. I don't know if all of us know why this happened, but basically, you see, the Pharisees would strain their water because gnats were known as unclean insects according to the law. But Jesus says, you're straining that, but you swallow a big old camel. You see, I like that metaphor that Jesus expressed there, because he said, you are straining a gnat, but you are swallowing a camel. It means, as I said earlier in this message, that we focus in the minor things in the body of Christ. We focus on the type of clothes. We focus on the tattoos. We focus on the outside appearance. And someone might come in church with purple hair, and we say, with that, with someone come in church and you see this young man maybe flashing in a certain way, you say, I wonder why I'm talking about with spirit of deceiving. What God is saying, we are focusing on those things, and none of us are looking into the heart. None of us are looking at it. And I use this example with Joyce Meyer when we shared this message on Youth Sunday, that I remember I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and she was talking about self-righteousness. And she said she went into a restaurant or into a store with a colleague of hers, a younger preacher, who, you know, was a little more liberal, is how she said it. Meaning, you know, they allowed the people, somebody come into church with tattoos or, you know, with piercings, places that you wouldn't imagine people without piercings. And, you know, he was more welcoming of that. And he said he went into a store with Joyce Meyer, and Joyce Meyer said she saw this young lady come in with tattoos and, you know, this bright color here and, you know, piercings on her face all over. And she said, being transparent and being honest, she found herself asking, what is that? Why would someone do that? But her pastor friend looked at the young lady and said, man, I love your hair. I love your hair. And she was so surprised. And she said she caught herself right there and then, because she found herself judging from the outward appearance. But here is her friend, and he started the conversation to get a little deeper. You see, sometimes, I like that message by Miles Monroe, he preaches, he said, impacting without imposing. Sometimes we go to work and we have friends and we have colleagues, and you know, the least little chance we get, we say, Jesus is King, repent, because you're a sinner and you should not do this. But that is not how we ought to minister to people. Sometimes you have to use your life to minister to people. Sometimes you have to live a life as an example. You see, I have a young man who came to church last week, who I invited 1 year ago. 1 year ago, I invited this young man from work, and he came 1 year later. But all this time, it doesn't mean that I haven't been ministering to him. It means that I've been living an example, and I'm making sure he sees my speech. I'm seeing, making sure he sees my actions, and he sees that at the end of the day, I'm the same person at work as I am in the body of Christ. I am the same person at work as I am in the church. I'm the same person at work as I am with my family. Because we have to use other means and ways of ministering to people. It can't always be, repent, for the coming of the Lord is near. You are a sinner, and you must stop doing this, and you must stop doing that. We have to change things up. We have to change things up. Pastor Fiani can relate to this, but I always go back to the scene of Youth for Christ. Geared to the times, but anchored to the rock. It means that things and times change. It means that the gospel today, the deliverance may look different from the gospel in the 1980s. Because here we are on the phone. Here we are on the iPad. Here we are live streaming. And the gospel is maybe being shared in different ways, but we are still preaching the root. We're still at the root cause of sin. We are at the root cause of salvation. Amen. Yes. I close with this today. If we really want a revival as a body of Christ, we need to walk away from the Pharisees' mind, Pharisees' way of thinking, the Pharisees' mindset, and we need to embrace what Christ was teaching here by focusing on the outward appearance. I mean, the inward appearance, my bad. Hallelujah. Yes. We cannot expect people to come to the house of God if the moment they walk through the door, we judge them. We judge them, or we judge our family members, and if we don't express a spirit of grace and mercy towards them. Yes. Encourage us as a body today. Let us major in the major and minor in the minor, instead of majoring in the minor and minoring in the major. The heart is what matters. The nutritional value of that fruit is what really matters.